This morning, we're going to talk about, it's an awesome story. I don't know if you guys have heard about it before, but there was a guy named Joseph in the Old Testament. I may refer to him as Dreamer Joe throughout the sermon today, so, you know, whatever. He's okay with it, I think. Pastor Tosh preached last week, and then we talked about it, and nothing ever really came to be, but I think God does his own thing without us realizing it. So last week, she talked about Abraham and Sarah. Who was here last week? I won't put you on the spot. Anyway, if you remember, we talked about Abraham and Sarah and how God had made a promise to them, and they kind of took everything into their own hands, right? They made decisions is what she kept saying. They did their own thing. But guess what? What God says and what God promises is still going to come through because that's what God does, and he's so super duper. So even though they kind of messed things up and had a little, what do you call it, honey? The first wives? What was the first housewives of Canaan? They're the first housewives of Canaan drama. Still, what God had promised and the dream that Abraham had still came true. Today, we're going to talk about a guy, Dreamer Joe, who stuck with the plan, stuck with the dream, if you will, didn't take things into his own hands, and guess what? Everything still worked out, but there's a lot of curveballs that were thrown along the way. So Abraham and Sarah had Isaac. That was the promise that Pastor Tosh was talking about last week. Isaac had Jacob and Esau. Jacob had 12 sons. One of them was Dreamer Joe. So there's a little bit of the history. You guys got it? So what would that make? Dreamer Joe, Abraham would be Dreamer Joe's great-grandfather. Thank you, whoever figured that family tree out. So we're going to talk about Joseph today. And it's a lot, so I'll start reading scripture. From Genesis 37, we're going to go through Genesis chapter 37 all the way through 45, verse by verse. Okay, we're not. We're going to do Pastor... We won't, Becky. We're going to do Pastor Jamie's Cliff Notes versions. Who had Cliff Notes in college? Yeah, that yellow and black thing, right? Yeah, that's right. Who wants to read To Kill a Mockingbird? I got Cliff Notes. We're going to do Pastor Jamie's Cliff Notes version. And I'm going to do the very best that I can to tell you the story of Dreamer Joe. But I really encourage you guys to go back and read it. It's really, really awesome. I mean, my version's going to be pretty epic, but just saying. So we start at chapter 37. Thank you guys for appeasing me there. All right, so Joseph was the next to last of the son of Jacob. Okay, there were 12 sons. I already told you that. He's number 11. And then his younger son, Benjamin, they were from the same mother, Rachel. All right? He was number 11. And when we start in the story, in chapter 37 of Genesis, he was just 17. And you know what I mean. When this story unfolds, that's going to be pretty. Just remember that. He was just 17. You guys are always going to remember that now that I sang that song with it. Joseph was Jacob's favorite son of all the 12. Scripture tells us that. He didn't beat around the bush about it. He was his favorite kid. In fact, he was such a favorite kid that he gave him a richly ornamented robe. Anybody heard of Joseph's coat of many colors? Very good. I got head nods. So robes back in the day, I did a little research on robes in Old Testament times. Very, very interesting. But robes were meant for function and not fashion, okay? They were meant to, keep warm. I think we get that. But they were used to carry their belongings. I'm sure they had, like, little pockets and stuff. They put stuff in. But I also found out they were used oftentimes to secure a loan. You could go to, like, the Bank of Canaan and be like, hey, I'd like to get a mortgage, and here's what I'm going to secure the loan with. But they were really important, and they were more about function than fashion. It's clear from the scriptures that this was a robe of fashion. It was very colorful. It was ankle. Most robes were knee length. This was ankle length. This was like beautiful. This was a beautiful, beautiful robe. And it was definitely a gift that showed everybody else that he was the favorite among all the sons. So as you can imagine, he's the favorite, but he's not the favorite among his brothers. A little jealousy there. And we're going to see later on here how his brothers prove that they're not really very happy with Joseph, Dreamer Joe. So as we're getting into chapter 37, Joseph had a dream. And he went and he told his brothers about it. So I want to read that. That's verses 6 through 9 is what I'm going to read for you. Genesis 37. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." Oh, boy. Yeah, I know, right? Trying to make friends. His brother said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of this dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told this to the brothers. I'm like, come on, man. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." Mm-hmm. Right, he's not making friends among his brothers. Talk about sibling rivalry. But I see Joseph as this guy who's just going about his thing, man. I think of him as a guy who loves his family, who loves God, and he's like, hey, not really kind of understanding and realizing that his brothers are like super against him. And so he's sharing his dream. Now, I also want to tell you about dreams. I did a little research on dreams. Dreams during this time was a very serious matter. Dreams were a way for people to see the future or to make decisions, okay? Now, there's dreams that I sometimes have. Like, I had this one funny dream, guys, where I came to church, and Dawn was in the back, and she handed me my guitar, and everybody was up here singing, and when I came up here, they're all singing, and I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off, trying to find my music, but my senior pastor had moved and rearranged the stage. I couldn't find anything. That's not the kind of dream that they were having here. Sorry, I had to just tell that on a whim. I didn't have that written down, but anyway. Dreams are very serious, although I did tell my senior pastor, and she thinks I have some, issues with, control. I don't know. So dreams of common people like myself were important, but to kings and dignitaries, they were super-duper important because the decisions they made were on a national scale, obviously. So religious figures and political leaders, they would call upon other people to even interpret their dreams. Remember that also down the road. We're going to learn that. Or we're going to see that in play, too. So dreams were important. They kind of told the future. They helped people make decisions. So Joseph's telling these brothers that hate him these awesome dreams and not making any friends. So one day, Joseph, by the urging of his father, went to check in on his brothers. They were out with the sheepers. And once he found them, they mocked him, of course. They're like, here comes Dreamer Joe. Here comes Dreamer Joe. And they said to each other, and this escalates. They're like, you know what? Let's just kill this guy. Let's just get rid of him. They hated him. They hated him. And they said, let's just kill them. Kill him. The oldest brother, who was Reuben, was the only one that had a little sense about him. And he said, you know what? Let's not kill him. Let's just throw him in the cistern. There's a hole over here. And what Reuben's plan was, the scripture tells us, was to go back and actually get Joseph, call him Joe now, to get Joseph from the cistern and kind of save him. But so they threw him in the cistern, and Reuben leaves the scene, exits. So his brothers are chilling out. Joseph's in a cistern, and they sit down to eat lunch, which really, to me, says they really have no clue what's happening here or what they're about to do. I mean, they're talking about killing somebody. Oh, I'm hungry. That doesn't make sense to me. But soon they saw a caravan of traders going back to Egypt with all their goods they had been trading. And then they said, you know what? Okay, this is crazy. Let's not kill him. I mean, after all, he is our flesh and blood. Let's not kill him. But let's just sell him into slavery. Let's do that instead. Okay, these guys are. So instead of killing him, they sold him into slavery. And they sold him, by the way, for just 20 shekels of silver. And off to Egypt, Joseph goes. But didn't Dreamer Joe have a dream about his brothers bowing down to him, grain, worship? What? This isn't the dream. This isn't happening. He's now a slave. So His brothers decided, well, how are they going to explain all of a sudden that Joseph, the favorite son, is missing? So they took his coat, his beautiful coat that his father had given him, they dipped it in blood, and they told his father that he had been ravaged by a wild animal and that he'd perished. So back in Egypt, Joseph gets sold to one of Pharaoh's officials. His name was Potiphar. He was captain of the guard. Potiphar was. And so we go into chapter 39 of Genesis, and Joe, Dreamer Joe, he's just doing his slave thing at Potiphar's house. The scripture tells us that the Lord was with Joseph. He prospered. He did really well. I mean, for being a slave, he's doing all right. He was put in charge of Potiphar's entire house, and he basically trusted Joseph with everything. Everything in the house was under Joseph's care. But trouble was brewing. Potiphar's wife makes multiple advances, if you know what I mean, to Joseph, and which he declines and says, no, no, no. But the last time, she accuses him of the advance. Oh, he's come on to me! And everybody in the house comes, and Potiphar's like, off to jail you go, and off to jail Joseph goes. But wait a minute. Joseph he was a slave? Well, he is a slave. And he goes to jail? I thought he had a dream about being, like, worshipped and bowed down to by his brothers, like, in royalty? Like, what? This is not making sense at all. Do you guys agree that the dream is not coming true? I think we should just give up on the dream, don't you? By the end of chapter 39, he's chilling in jail. Ah, poor guy. I feel bad for him. But he keeps a positive attitude through all this, because in chapter 39, at the end of it, it says the Lord was kind to him, found favor with the warden. In fact, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the people in the prison. So he's sold into slavery, told that he was dead. Now he's in jail, but everything is going good for him. He's just doing the best, making the best of the situation. Although I do not see the dream coming true here. I'm about to give up on the dream. Are you guys giving up on the dream? I knew you wouldn't. Genesis 40. Do you guys like my Pastor Jamie's Cliff Notes version so far? That's good. Yeah. So sometime later, he's chilling in jail, just having a grand old time, I guess. There was a cupbearer and a baker of Pharaoh. They made Pharaoh mad, or the king, it says, the king, made the king mad, and they got thrown in jail. So they got thrown in jail, a cupbearer and a baker, and with Joseph. Each of these guys had dreams, and they were very troubled. Joseph's like, tell me, you guys seem troubled. What's wrong? And they're like, we had these crazy dreams. He's like, well, tell me about it. So he tells them, and I'm not going to go into the interpretation of the dreams. You have to read that on your own. It's pretty awesome. Genesis 40. But let me just tell you, he interpreted their dreams to the T. One of the guy ends up, the other guy gets restored back to his original position. It's exactly their dreams. He interpreted them to the T, came through. I wrote on here, spoiler, one guy gets killed. One guy was restored to his original position. This is going to be important. You got to remember that part. That's all Genesis 40 I'm going to tell you about. Genesis 41. 2 years passed. Wait a minute, 2 years and he's still in jail? There was a dream, people. There was a dream back in chapter 37. My sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around me and bowed down to it. I do not see that happening here. He is still in jail. But chapter 41, things start to turn. Pharaoh has a dream. And his dream was essentially seven cows, like good abundant cows, are chilling. And then seven real skinny, scrawny cows come up and devour those cows. And Pharaoh has called everybody that he knows, anybody who interprets anything in the land, and no one can tell him what these dreams mean. But the cupbearer, the dude that was restored to his original position that he interpreted the dream for back in chapter 40, goes, I remember this guy. And he told Pharaoh, he's like, this guy, he interpreted my dream, and this is what happened to me, and he interpreted the dream of the other guy, and that's what happened to him. We all know what happened. He interpreted exactly. And Pharaoh's like, I need that guy. Go get him. So they go, and they get Dreamer Joe. Pharaoh tells Dreamer Joe about the dreams, and Joseph knows what it means. He goes, we're about to have 7 awesome years of harvest, abundance of livestock and grain. Everything's going to be awesome. And then we're going to have 7 years of terrible, terrible, terrible famine. People are going to die. Livestock's going to die. People are going to die from hunger. So what we need to do is we need to make sure and prepare for that. We need to take these 7 years of abundance, and we need to just stockpile it, stockpile it, stockpile it. So then that way, when we have the 7 years of bad, we've got something that we can survive on. Pharaoh's like, you are so wise, Dreamer Joe. Thank you for that information. Now he's a king. He can make a good decision about what to do now for his country, for his kingdom. And he said, I need somebody wise to take care of this situation and oversee this whole thing. You know what, Dreamer Joe, you're the man. Super cool, right? Okay, things are starting to turn. He was in jail. Now he's like second in command in the country. I know, Joyce, right? Awesome. She's like, yeah, right. So Dreamer Joe, I'm beginning to believe in the dream again. I'm beginning to believe in it. I just want to say, he was 30 years old when this happened. He was just what? 17. You know what I mean. 13 years had passed. Slavery, doing hardcore jail time. And when we finally get into chapter 42, after those 13 years, I kind of see it. I can kind of see a glimmer of hope that maybe this dream is supposed to come true. We find him second in charge when we get into chapter 42. Only Pharaoh's above him. And they're in the middle, and they're in the midst of their 7 years of abundance. But let's not get too far ahead of the story, okay? Let's just, we got some things to do here. So chapter 42 and 44 is the start of the famine years. And in the start of the famine, I want you guys to read this on your own. I really want you guys to go back and read this story. Chapter 42 through 44, we're in famine. 2 years have gone by. And there's this family from Canaan that's hungry. Their livestock has all perished because of this famine. And Jacob sends his sons, all but one. He doesn't send Benjamin. He sends 10 of his sons to Egypt, because he's heard that Egypt has a ton of stuff. And I think maybe they can go and they can help us, because if we don't get any help, we're going to die. This whole family is going to, we're not going to make it through this famine. So he sends the sons, and guess who they go to try to get some help? Dreamer Joe. Who, if you think about it, probably isn't just in any, he's probably completely ornate himself. He's probably got that little Pharaoh thing on, you know. I don't know what that's called. I didn't do any research on that. Probably sitting on some kind of fancy throne with gold and all kinds of things around him. He's in charge, dude. And these 10 guys come, and what do you think they do? Oh, please. Uh-oh. I think the dream has come true. After all these years, here they come. And I think it's interesting, obviously, you get the grain thing, right? They're coming for grain. He's buying it up in his dream. He's buying it up grain, sheaves. So they come to get help, but they don't recognize Joseph. They have no clue who he is, but he knows who they are. And he doesn't say anything for like two. There's 2 visits that you're going to read about on your own. Thank you. 2 different visits to come and get help during this famine, because there was someone who was wise, who interpreted a dream, and who Pharaoh put in charge to help in the end, this family. He keeps his identity a secret, and he doesn't reveal to them who he is until that second visit. And then it's awesome. Chapter 45. chapter 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I'm Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Yeah, I think. I would be scared too. Well, duh is right. Then Joseph said to his brothers, and I just love how he saw this journey to have this dream fulfilled. It's very moving to me. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now don't be distressed. Do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there's been famine in the land. For the next 5 years, there will not be any plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." What beautiful forgiveness and understanding of the journey to get to the dream. The dream happened. It was fulfilled. But it didn't look like it was going to be fulfilled 13 years ago, 10 years ago. But it did happen. And Joseph was wise enough and in tune enough with God to understand, "Wow, look what you did, God." You could look at it and say, "Look what you did, God. You got to be kidding me. I had to go, I was a slave, and then I went to jail and for nothing I did." He didn't do anything wrong in any of these things. It all started with him being loved by his dad. But in the end, the dream that he had, God fulfilled to save the lives of his family. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. How mature, how faithful, and how credible that he saw God's hand in all of it. And it was a beautiful outcome for his family and for his dad. How awesome. So there's a lot of lessons to be learned from this story, this beautiful story. Forgiveness, obviously. Would you have been so forgiving? Like, okay, right. I mean, that's like, would I have been so forgiving if my brother and sister did that to me and I had all this thing? I would be like, you know what, give this to mom and dad, but you, no, figure it out on your own. Well, maybe I would have. I don't know. I'll think and pray about that. I'll get back to you. I love them, but. So forgiveness, right? How forgiving. And that's what Jesus shows us all the time, the forgiveness that we don't deserve. Love for family, I wrote down, is something to learn. Love for family, through and through. Making the best out of every situation. Joseph could have totally had... He could have totally had a negative attitude on it. I told Tosh, I go, he was probably one of these guys that was like, "Oh yeah, oh, I, you know, fell and broke my leg, but that's great." You know, like, aren't some people sometimes so positive that you're just like, "I just want to punch you. This is ridiculous." Life is not positive. Like, you know? And I think of Joseph like that. He's like, "Oh, I got sold into slavery. Hey, I got thrown in jail. Whoa, you know, things are going to be fine." Oh, whatever. Like 13 years later, I don't think so. And actually, in all honesty, it was 20 years after that before he was revealed. He was in his late 30s by the time that he revealed himself to his brothers. So he was just 17, and then he's late 30s. So 20-ish years in total have gone by. That's a lot of making the best out of every situation. And I don't know, I thought about this, I'm like, I don't know if this was maybe God's total plan the whole entire time that all this stuff would happen to him and he would make the best out of it, or maybe it's just life and it just happens and whatever. Like, but in the end, no matter what, the journey, the dream came true, right? That's what we always have to remember. The dream came true. And it was God's dream. God's dream came true. We have to be in tune with God to know what of our dreams, because I think we all have dreams, right? What of our dreams are God's dreams? Because those dreams are the ones where we do have to make the best out of a situation. We have to just continue plugging along. We have to forgive people along the way. And then in the end, our dream is going to come true. We have to sometimes be patient, people. Just be patient. Wait it out. Keep focused and positive on God's dream for you. Okay? I want to close by saying that on Saturday here at this church, from 10 to 3 o'clock, the ministers are going to meet, the deacons and the pastors of this church. And we're going to be talking about and praying about the dreams of this church and the vision for this church in the future. And I would love for every hour on the hour for you guys to be praying for us as we're here praying and being in tune with God to try to find out what the dream is, what God's dream is for this church. It's important that we all have our individual dreams. Tune in to what God wants you to do and be like Joseph and don't deviate from the plan. Don't be Abraham and Sarah and do their own thing because then you're going to have drama. Stay within God's plan for you. And with this church, we know that there's a plan. And we want to know what that plan is. And we as a ministerial team want to be plugged into that plan. And we want you guys to know about that plan for this church. So Saturday from 10 to 3, set your alarm if you can for every hour, at the top of the hour, the bottom of the hour, every 15 minutes, whatever you guys want to do. But that would be wonderful if we could make sure that we're all praying for the dreams of this church and plugging into the dreams of this church. All right? Let's all individually dream, and let's all dream together for a church. Amen?